Our text for this morning is the epistle reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. I'll read for you again these verses beginning at verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, picture a gift, nicely wrapped, it's got a name tag on it, and the name on the tag is yours. What does that mean? Does that mean that this is a gift for you or a gift from you? Well, we might assume if it's got our name on it, it's a gift for us. But you know, if it's the kind of gift that you might take to a shower or a birthday party, the name could identify that this is from you. Last week, in the first chapter of his letter to the Philippians, Paul addressed our worldview, our understanding of why we are here, which is to glorify God by receiving his gifts. This week now, in chapter 2, he begins with, so, in view of that, now Paul addresses our mindset, that is, our attitude about these gifts of God and what they are for. God's gifts are for us to joyfully share with others. In my in-laws' family, there is a birthday tradition that is what they call newspaper gifts. Because among the gifts that somebody gets at their birthday is one, at least one, sometimes more, that are wrapped in plain newspaper. Inside these gifts is going to be candy or some other kind of goodies for that one who's having the birthday to share with the other people that are celebrating with them. Paul shows that God's gifts to us are newspaper gifts. They're something for us to share, serving others with attitudes of unity and humility and obedience and joy. As we look at our text, we see that we unite to serve others with God's grace, because Jesus obediently served us with his greatness. And so we joyfully serve in thanks for God's gifts to us. Let's think first about how we unite to serve others with God's grace. Paul writes, so, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection with sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. One of the things Paul says here is do nothing out of rivalry or conceit. I saw a cartoon the other day. There's a guy leading a Bible class, and he says that Christian maturity includes humility. And if you have memorized as many books of the Bible as I have, you would know that. Well, what if I tried to be a better Christian out of rivalry or conceit? I wouldn't really become a very better Christian at all. Because trying to be Christian by focusing on self doesn't work. So in this letter, Paul mentions to the Philippians that they suffer. In fact, they're suffering along with him as he suffers in prison when he writes this. Now, they were not in prison, but they were having other kinds of problems. Well, we too are not here this morning in prison, but we have our problems, and we have sufferings too. Suffering or pain tends to make us pull in, to focus on ourselves, to not feel like being very outgoing, to feel like just staying by ourselves. And yet, when we are suffering, it helps us to have others come to us and to care about us. Paul writes, If there is any encouragement in Christ, well, if there is encouragement in Christ, we don't have to give up in despair because Christ helps us. And if there's any comfort from His love, well, there is comfort from His love because He loves us even when we alienate others. And if there is participation that is fellowship in the Spirit, well, there is, because He has come to live and to work inside of us and to unite us with God. And if there is any affection and sympathy from God who cares about us, well, there is, because God does have affection for us. And so how do we receive this encouragement and this affection and this comfort and this fellowship and this sympathy of Christ? Well, I receive it through fellow believers who share that from God with me. And so all of these things, Paul is saying, well, if we have this affection and sympathy and comfort, it's for us to share with others as well. And when I do, Paul says, there's one more thing. Joy. My joy is made complete by seeing this kind of unity and harmony and caring for one another. You see, being a Christian, being a child of God, is never about just Jesus and me. It is always about Jesus and us together. So as we think about our plans for our spiritual life, which is something we're doing in our congregation at this time of year, I don't want to think just about, well, what I need and what I want, but I want to think about others, about fellow believers in the church and those outside the church that I know need Jesus. I want to think about those who share the same faith that I do, the same worship, the same gifts of Holy Communion. Who can I encourage in fellowship from the Holy Spirit? How can I share in Bible study or in teaching? How can I use God's gifts to me to serve? Who can I pray for? Who can I invite to come to worship with me? What resources can I use as we do our work together? And we're going to be making notes of those things for ourselves. And remember to have in your mailboxes sheets to help to make these spiritual life plans. When we think of others, not just ourselves, we think of what we have as newspaper gifts. Not just this is mine, but this is mine to share. Because Paul says, this is the mind of Christ. Jesus obediently served us with His greatness. Verse 5, he writes, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Have you ever heard of a dog in a manger? If you're old enough, maybe you've heard that expression. It comes from an old story about a dog who found a nice, comfortable place to sleep in a manger, that is, a feed box for animals, until a cow came along and he wanted to eat some of his feed. That was his feed in the box. And the dog barks and growls and chases the cow away. A dog in a manger is one who selfishly keeps for himself what he doesn't need. That dog was not going to eat that hay, but keeps those who need it from having it. Jesus, who was born and laid in a manger, was not a dog in a manger. He was willing to give up his divine prerogatives for a while so that we could have what we need, that is, salvation for our sins. A friend of ours from Papua New Guinea, who's a missionary there, just happened to drop by and visit us about a week ago. And one of the things she had with her was a kind of necklace or breast piece that the men